You're listening to Limelight, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Emily Kalishewski.
Welcome to Limelight, a podcast not just about local government, but the people and stories behind it. I'm your host, Emily Kalishewski, and on this episode, we have a very special topic. We'll be talking about how anyone can help support the League's 1650 project. The number of women serving as local government managers has barely increased in three decades. In 2014, just 14.4% of the nation's municipal managers were women. The story is much the same in Michigan. Women make up only 16% of those serving in the municipal top spot, despite comprising over 50% of our population here in the state. The Michigan Municipal League officially launched the 1650 Project in early 2018 to highlight this leadership gap and to do something about it. We're tackling this problem from three directions: developing tomorrow's leaders, professional development for advancing women, and educating council members and the public on gender bias. So what does this actually look like in practice? In short, we've been on the road with a panel of current women managers traveling to universities to introduce and inspire students to enter the profession. We're providing educational opportunities to local elected officials on gender bias. And we're currently providing training on critical topics and leadership to 25 women who aspire to be local government managers through the Women's Municipal Leadership Program. The Year of the Woman isn't just about elections, it's about putting women in leadership positions in every sector. The Michigan Municipal League, in partnership with the Michigan Municipal League Foundation, are doing our part by training and empowering women to become municipal managers, and now is the time that anyone can help us in this mission. Joining me first is Geestree Gendro. Geestree is the president of the Michigan Municipal League Foundation and has an extensive background in building partnerships, state and local government, and strategic communications. She joined the League in January of 2017 to lead the League's foundation, foster new partnerships, and identify ways to best serve League members. Geestree is with us today to explain more about what the foundation does and more about the Giving Tuesday campaign that will benefit the 1650 Project. So I'm here now with Geestree Gendro, who is the president of the Michigan Municipal League Foundation. Thank you for joining us today, Geestree.
Thank you for having me.
So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your role as the president of the Michigan Municipal League Foundation?
So the Michigan Municipal League Foundation is the fundraising arm of the Michigan Municipal League, and we say that we grow leaders. We fundraise for different scholarships and training opportunities for League members, but we also offer a scholarship, which we recently relaunched, called the George and Judith Goodman Scholarship. And it is to encourage young people or college students, not necessarily young, but college students to pursue careers in local government. And that scholarship is up to $1,000. So it's a very generous scholarship. And Mr. Goodman and Mrs. Goodman, they are both very committed to making sure that we have ways for women in particular and people of color in particular to have opportunities to serve in local government.
So speaking of women specifically, you and I both know that we have Giving Tuesday coming up, and that's a campaign that the foundation partakes in every year. So can you tell us a little bit more about what Giving Tuesday actually is?
The foundation this year is focusing our Giving Tuesday efforts on the League 1650 project. And to back up a little bit, the Giving Tuesday campaign is an international event. A lot of nonprofits participate. It is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. And usually we have a day to give thanks, and we have 3 days to spend a lot of money on Black Friday and Small Business Saturday, and then again on Cyber Monday. So the giving community wants to make sure, the philanthropic community wants to make sure that people also have an opportunity to give. So the foundation has launched a Giving Tuesday campaign on the Tuesday after Thanksgiving through the end of the year. So we want to make sure that people are aware that they can make a difference through their giving.
Absolutely. So it's my understanding that each year the foundation chooses a different initiative or project to do the fundraising for. Last year it was something different, but this year you've decided, the foundation has decided to support the 1650 project. Why was that a decision that the foundation decided to make?
The 1650 campaign for Giving Tuesday this year is very important for the Michigan Municipal League Foundation. We really see that our communities really need to address the problem of gender equality. We only have about 16% of our municipal managers who are women, and we want to make sure that our communities benefit from the experience and the different viewpoints and the different managing styles that women can bring to the table. So the foundation really wanted to support the league's efforts in that area. And our donors, they are very supportive of a lot of our initiatives, and we know that this year is not going to be any different. I can tell you that, for example, the DTE Energy is already a huge supporter of the foundation, and they have already this year given $1,650 to support our 1650 campaign on Giving Tuesday.
And that's something we're very excited about. As you know, I work very closely with the 1650 Project, and to have those types of partnerships with DTE and to see the support, not just from people who work in the public sector, but also the private sector that recognizes that importance, is huge for us. But what are the other ways people can support us if they can't necessarily write a check or make a donation of $1,650?
So the campaign really encourages donors and participants and partners to give any amount, really. We're encouraging people to stay with the theme of 1650, to give anywhere from $16.50 or $165 or, of course, $1,615. I would even take $16,500 if someone really wanted to be that generous and was capable of that. But in all seriousness, we know that some people may not be able to make a monetary gift. We want to make sure that they share the information. We are very active on social media, on Facebook, the Michigan Municipal League Foundation. On Twitter, we are at MML Foundation. And we want to make sure that people, if you can't yourself give, maybe you know someone, an organization, or another member or a family member who's very interested in gender equality and women leaders, please share that information with them, because we want to make sure not only that we encourage people to give, but that we raise awareness and that we educate other people about the need for additional training and removing barriers for women.
Absolutely. So often we hear about gender equality when it comes to elected office, but very rarely are we talking about it in appointed office. And we feel that it's super important that our governments are reflecting the communities they serve. And that's part of the reason why the 1650 Project was created here. I do think it's important to note for our listeners that the 1650 Project is an initiative that encourages more women to enter this profession. And we're doing actual training right now. We have the Women's Municipal Leadership Program. We have 25 women in that class who are learning critical skills and building their leadership skills so that they can take that next step to the top spots. But Gishi, I understand that the foundation is a very critical fundraising arm for the league. And you mentioned that you do fundraising for all sorts of things and that there are a lot of opportunities for our members to take advantage of for their own needs. So can you tell us just briefly, in closing, the other opportunities that you have for our members as far as scholarships go?
The MML Foundation, because we have such generous donors, we have three scholarships right now. Two are for members. One is the John Barr Leadership Education Scholarship, and that is up to $1,000 also. And it serves our members. We want to make sure that they have proper and good training. And that's available twice a year. The upcoming deadline is November 30th. So there is still time to apply and to get more information. And the website is mmlfoundation.org. And if you want to look at the scholarships, it's mmlfoundation.org/scholarships. And then the other opportunity for our members is the Tim Doyle Scholarship. Tim Doyle was a very active member of the league. And he, when he passed, his wife, Deb, started a scholarship fund for our members to attend Elected Officials Academy training. It's a weekender program. They can learn about Open Meetings Act and budgeting and how to work with their, for example, city councils. So it's that scholarship is also available to our members. And I already mentioned, but it's worth repeating, that we also have the George and Judith Goodman Scholarship that encourages college students who want to pursue a career in local government.
Excellent. All great opportunities for our members to take advantage of, and all reasons why outside donors should consider supporting our programming so that our communities are better places for people to live and work. So Geeshi, thank you so much for joining me today and explaining everything that there is to know about Giving Tuesday and why people out there should give before Giving Tuesday on November 27th and afterwards through the end of the year to support more women in municipal leadership and the 1650 Project. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Joining us now is Karen Lancaster, the City of Ann Arbor's Finance Director. Karen is one of the expert speakers the league tapped into to provide training to the participants of the 1650 Project's Women's Municipal Leadership Program. She spent time with the WMLP class of 2018 providing critical training in the topics of municipal budget and finance. She'll be giving us a taste of the information she touched on, why this training is so crucial for women and anyone aspiring to lead our communities, and what other people can do when looking for resources central to this topic. Okay, so we are recording. I'm here with Karen Lancaster, the Director of Finance for the City of Ann Arbor. Karen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So I wanted to talk a little bit with you about your role in the 1650 Project in our Women's Municipal Leadership Program. But let's start for a moment by hearing a little bit more of your story and how you ended up in finance and in municipal finance at that.
You know, it's funny, I talk about this often, there's no direct path to municipal finance. So I went to business school and went the accounting route, and I was an auditor. And typically in an audit firm, you know, you're busy by industry, you know, sometimes half the year is manufacturing, the other half of the year might be nonprofits and government, and that's how my schedule was. And the City of Ann Arbor was one of my clients. And so I'd come here and I'd audit, and I went to school here and I loved the city. And after a couple of audits, they said, hey, you know, are you interested in perhaps working here? And I'm like, oh, well, I love Ann Arbor and I love the people, and sure, I'll give that a shot, you know. And so I started my career here, and it was kind of by accident. You know, I never thought going to school that I'd end up working in municipal finance. It is a completely different animal than any other finance out there.
Sure. So you started here with the City of Ann Arbor, and you've been here for quite some time. And it's interesting because we hear often from some of the women who are participating in the Women's Municipal Leadership Program that finance is an area that they've struggled with. And it's kind of a loftier topic to some people if they're not necessarily math people and don't know the first thing to do when they're approaching that. So it sounds like from what we've heard through your involvement in the 1650 Project that this is an area that you're particularly passionate about in making sure that people are up to speed on this topic and feel comfortable interacting with finance and budgeting, especially when it comes to municipalities. So what is it exactly? Can you describe to us what you do when it comes to training other groups?
Sure. So the complexity of municipal finance, I think, is, you know, people look at it and they're instantly overwhelmed and they kind of don't want to dive in. And probably the best thing anyone can do that wants to know more about municipal finance but doesn't really get debits, credits, you know, fund accounting, is to read the budget book mm-hmm. of any municipality. It tells you quite a bit in plain English about, you know, what their city's like, there's a community profile, how you would budget, what you would do in certain circumstances. And it's also supposed to talk about community trends and financial trends. So mm-hmm. things like if you're interested in looking at a certain community, you'd want to know, is their tax base growing or shrinking? Are they having any particular issues? Has their workforce grown or shrunk? Are they seeing economic development? And those are all talked about in paragraph form. It's not a spreadsheet mm-hmm. in a book. You know, no, sure. mind you, in the budget book, there are spreadsheets.
Right. For those that appreciate the spreadsheets, right. that definitely That's has right. them.
So I think, you know, with how I started with training was actually I was approached by a professor at Central Michigan who was also very passionate about municipal finance and training. And he does quite a few training institutes. And he asked if I would do something about budget for the people that were going. And these are city clerks and public works people mm-hmm. and treasurers and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at first we start with some basic training related to what is a budget? What are you supposed to do? What does the state of Michigan say you're supposed to mm-hmm. do? All those kinds of things.
Sure.
But then, you know, I'm like, this is really dry. We need to kind of liven this up a little mm-hmm. bit. And we kind of evolved into the budget simulation game that really gives people the idea of, in a very fast forward pace, of here's what it's like to try to get a budget done in a year, mm-hmm. right? Here's all the political forces. Here's the things that change. And that is, it's just a lot of fun, and it makes it very real to the folks that are taking that training.
So you started with a class or a professor through Central Michigan, mm-hmm. and it sounds like your involvement in helping train others really evolved from there. And certainly we were brought to you by Pam Antle from the League of Women in Government. So let's talk a little bit about what it is that you did when you came in to approach this specific group of women through the Women's Municipal Leadership Program. What was your thought process in how to put something together for this group of women who are really quite diverse in their experience in municipal mm-hmm. government? You know, we have some who have a little bit more experience, some who obviously work in finance, and then we have some who might be in the private sector or who work in areas that really don't interact much with the budget. What was your approach and what was your overall goal in what you wanted them to take away from the two trainings that you did? You were with us for two sessions. You did municipal budget, you did municipal financing. So what were your goals for those sessions?
My main goal was don't be afraid of it. You know, dive right. right in and understand enough that you can sit either in a council meeting or an interview or whatever it is you want to do and be comfortable knowing I know what pension liability is. Mm-hmm. I know what fund accounting is. And I'm not going to give you a test on that. I want you to understand that these right. are all the terms. So really, you know, I was so happy to be approached by Pam and Summer mm-hmm. Talking about this topic is so much fun for me. What I looked at was the Government Finance Officers Association has a wealth of information on policies that people should have finance officers, mm-hmm. geared towards finance officers, best practices. And so really I came up with eight areas that women need to understand with respect to municipal finance. And budget took a whole entire class because right. that is probably the number one thing that a lot of city administration and a lot of city administrators are involved in. And then we did a complete class on the seven other things, which we really hustled it along. But those topics might be how to read financial statements, mm-hmm. Understanding OPEB and pension liabilities. Mm-hmm. So we went through those topics. And I thought, okay, what would you really want to know if I was talking to, you know, my husband, for example, or sure. or my friends? What would I want them to understand about why is this complex? Why do citizens care? Why should I care? Mm-hmm. What is it that I need to understand? And so that's how I started with developing the class. And really, it wasn't necessarily the goal to keep it high level, because we did some exercises that were way down,
Sure.
But those are the things that my goal was, they can walk away with, here's the things I need to do if I'm approaching something from a financial standpoint in looking at a municipality.
Mm-hmm. And in general, in putting on these types of, in leading these types of exercises and these types of trainings, what's the number one concern or fear that you see from people who are attending these trainings? What's kind of holding them up when they're approaching, you know, either finance in general or budgeting?
The hardest thing is people think math is hard. Math is hard. There's math. There's, you know, she's going to make me do math. And it's a lot less about the math than the concepts.
Right.
And that's really very important to convey. It's not so much that you have to understand, you debit this and you credit this and you understand a financial system and you can explain fund accounting. It's not that. It's that there is fund accounting, mm-hmm. and that there is the general fund, and that's a big fund in every city, and it's the main fund, and that some funds are restricted, some are not. It's that those bigger concepts, not so much the math.
Sure.
But people equate finance and math together.
Right. I can understand how that would be a little sticky for some people who might not interact with that on a daily basis in their positions. So what advice do you have for those who either wanted to be a part of the Women's Municipal Leadership Program and might not have been able to get into those first 25 spots, or just people in general who are looking to get more familiar with this topic? Where's the first step? Where should they start?
So if they're really interested in finance, the very two things, if you're interested in a community, the two things I would recommend is you look on their website and you look at their budget book and you look at their financial statements. Mm-hmm. So I'm not asking you to be, you know, a bond advisor and go mm-hmm. through and and tell me if they're financially healthy. There's a lot of written material in those documents that will help you understand, you know, where the city's coming from, where it's going, what its plans are. Whether it's healthy or not, you will be able to see that just by reading the material. If you want to skip over all the numbers, you can skip over all the numbers, but to read those things. If you're interested in government finance in general, I recommend that you go to websites like Government Finance Officers mm-hmm. or ICMA. They have a lot of policies. They have a lot of information, and they are interested in educating people in a broad sense mm-hmm. about all these topics. And you can see, like, there's best practices. People do this stuff. People love this stuff.
Sure.
And their passion is also to educate.
Absolutely. So speaking of your passion to educate and your involvement with our 1650 Project, the Women's Municipal Leadership Program, as an educator on this topic and through the League of Women in Government, why is this training in particular so critical for women who are seeking to become city administrators or local government administrators?
Well, finance, really kind of the world revolves around finance, and everybody needs it. So it's kind of like that, you know, maybe the evil piece that no one talks about.
Sure.
No matter if you're a department head at a city, but particularly if you're in city administration, it is key to understanding a city, to understand its finances. And every manager, whether they like finance or not, the community development director, the HR director, everyone has to understand their budget and what they're allowed to spend and how much their people cost. And can I get a new person? Can I afford this? Those are some very basic things. If you have, it's not even just being a finance director, it's just being involved in city government at the manager level. When you get into city administration, understanding that budget is key to help your citizens move forward with their initiatives, to help your council people or your board move forward with their initiatives. If you don't understand where the money comes from. How can I get more money? Can I get more money? Should I cut somewhere else? Maybe a program's not working, but we can do something over here. Understanding how all that works makes you more successful.
Absolutely. And what kind of feedback have you received? I know some of our participants, you provided them with your email address, and some of them have told us that they've reached out to you and had questions. And certainly we've been able to kind of survey and see what the women are asking and kind of get their feedback. But what have you heard from the participants about what you presented to them, what their questions are, how they're feeling after they've gone through those two sessions with you?
People were very happy, very grateful to kind of understand. I think there's a lot of material to digest. So they went back, they did that. And then I started getting, you know, phone calls and emails. And it was wonderful to hear people say, I remember you talked about this. And I'm like, oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad no one fell asleep during that part. And, you know, I have had people call me on their way to interviews. Mm-hmm. You know, they're interviewing to be a city manager. And they're like, and I looked at the CAFR and, you know, this is what I saw. And I'd look at the CAFR and say, okay, and here's what I see. And so you might want to ask these questions. And it's just a very... I was very happy for them because they felt more empowered, you know, and the questions, I've gotten some email questions, some of them a little more technical about, you know, I have this certain situation, what would you do? And we talk through that. But the fact that I can now, you know, speak to those women and they feel like I understand this, even at a surface level, now they understand that there's other questions they can ask and then more they can do.
Absolutely. Whereas before they might not even feel comfortable asking those questions or how to ask those questions.
Right. No one wants to feel inadequate or like right. silly.
Unfamiliar.
Or, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Exactly. So from your perspective, as someone who's interacted with our class, our inaugural class of the Women's Municipal Leadership Program, why do you feel it's so important for others to consider donating to support the 1650 Project and the work that we're doing, both in general, specifically with the project, and then also with the Women's Municipal Leadership Program?
So, you know, for people to consider donating, I'd like them to think about, you know, how their own communities run, what they would like to see, if they have, you know, for their wives, mothers, daughters. Women go out in the workforce, and it is definitely a difficult arena in city administration. Mm-hmm. The whole goal of the project is so more women can succeed in areas where they traditionally have not been able to break through. Not that they're not successful when they do, but be able to be more of the percentage of city administrators. And so that is, women bring a different perspective, and certainly a lot of women bring a more holistic perspective that benefits cities and new programs. And I'd like to see people consider what that would mean in their community. And a new perspective, it's nice. It's
Absolutely.
Always nice to see what people bring to the table.
Sure. And we feel strongly through our work with the 1650 Project at the League that governments are more successful when they better mirror the citizens that they're serving. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're doing the work that we're doing with the 1650 Project and why we've chosen, or the foundation has chosen, the 1650 Project as their Giving Tuesday campaign this year. So thank you so much for all the work that you've done and the help you've provided us in putting this programming together, in giving women the tools that they need to succeed as they move forward in their careers. And hopefully we'll have more local government administrators from this class in the future and for lots of classes to come with the support of donors out there. So thank you so much, Karen. We appreciate you.
Thank you. It has been a pleasure.
Listeners can support the MML Foundation's Giving Tuesday campaign benefiting the 1650 Project by visiting mmlfoundation.org/donate. For the 1650 Project's first Women's Municipal Leadership Program, we had over 100 applicants, of which we were able to accept 25. Your dollars will help us close the gender gap in local government management and support more of these women through our training, in addition to helping us reach more students in universities and educate elected officials on their part too. As always, you can find more information on 1650project.org. We thank you in advance for your donation and support, and thanks so much for listening to Limelight.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.